Switching gears now, you might remember that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. That's the time of year when we celebrate the achievements of Americans with that ethnic background. And while over the years, there's always been a lot of emphasis on the achievements, in recent years, there's been a lot more on what's been presumed to be one of the key ingredients behind that success, so-called tiger moms and dads. The term itself got a lot of currency last year when law professor Amy Chua wrote a parenting memoir that quickly became a bestseller. It was called Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother, and she wrote about her no-nonsense parenting style, heavy on homework and approved activities like playing piano, and light on fun. She said that brought out the best in her children. For the rest of the program today, we're going to talk more about this, and we're going to start with a new study that suggests that so-called tiger parenting could do more harm than good. Soo Young Kim is an associate professor of human development at the University of Texas at Austin. She followed hundreds of Asian American families for a decade and recently published her findings. Professor Kim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I just want to point out here that your interest in this predated Amy Chua's book, that you've actually been gathering this data for quite some time. What got you interested in this?
Well, I got interested in this topic of Asian American families mainly because my own heritage, because I'm Korean American myself. And when I was an undergraduate student at the University of Southern California taking my psychology classes, I noticed that there was a lack of mentioning of anything to do with Asian Americans or even ethnic minorities in general. And so when I got to graduate school, I really wanted to study Asian American families because I wanted to make sure the experiences of Asian Americans were actually being represented in these textbooks, and that because most of the textbook just talked about European American families neglecting the experiences of ethnic minorities.
So your research was recently published in the Asian American Journal of Psychology. And as you said, you studied about 450 Chinese American families in Northern California. You followed students in middle school, high school, and after high school. So how did the parents, the children of tiger parents come out, if I can use that term?
Yeah, you could definitely use that term. What we found, I mean, when we started the study, we obviously didn't know about this term tiger parenting, but we always knew in the scholarly literature, there has always been this perplexing finding that Asian American parents, when we compare them to European American parents, they look like authoritarian parents. And typically, the authoritarian parents, when that parenting style is used by European Americans, we often find that children of those authoritarian parents often have low GPAs and also low socio-emotional health. And so when we saw this book by Amy Chua, we thought, wow, maybe these children who have these tiger moms would actually be the ones who are doing really well extraordinarily in terms of their academic outcomes. And we thought perhaps in terms of their socio-emotional outcomes, they may not be as healthy. But what really surprised us is that despite our hypotheses, the children of tiger parents were actually not doing well academically and also not doing well socio-emotionally either. So even though Amy Chua sort of made us think that being a tiger mom or a tiger parent would produce academic superstars, it actually didn't. The children who had what we would call supportive parents were the students who were doing the best in terms of their academic performance.
Just to clarify, Amy Chua's book came out in 2011.
11.
But but you also say that contrary to popular belief, most Chinese American parents are not tiger parents, at least as Amy Chua describes, which is, you know, heavy on the shaming, a lot of kind of tight control of the kids, that kind of thing. You said actually there's a range of parenting styles among Chinese Americans too.
Right. So in our study, we were able to use 7 different parenting dimensions to see how different parents could be classified. We used 4 parenting strategies, which we would consider positive parenting, like parental warmth, parental monitoring, parental inductive reasoning, where they're using reasoning and explanation in disciplining their children, and also democratic parenting. We're 4 positive categories. And also we have 4 negative categories, such as parental hostility, shaming, which we thought was a very important component of parenting in Asian Americans, as well as punitive parenting and psychologically controlling parenting. And what we found was that parents really did show a range of different types of parenting, so that parents who were high on both positive parenting and high on negative parenting is what we classified as tiger parents. And then the parents who were considered high on positive parenting but low on negative parenting were considered let me talk about the harsh parenting, and those are the harsh parents. And then the parents who were easygoing parents were low on both positive and negative parenting.
Well, we only have about 4 minutes left, so I kind of want to get to the kind of the meat of the thing. And that is that I think the question a lot of people have is the stereotype that Amy Chua put out there, and it's, which frankly a lot of other memoirs are increasingly talking about, this of being heavy on the shaming, a lot of control. You found that there is some truth to that, did you not? And that the outcomes are not as positive as many people would believe. I mean, you've also found that the adolescents themselves, one of the things about your study is that the adolescents themselves were interviewed as well as the parents, and a lot of adolescents had a lot of, they didn't appreciate that particular study. They had a lot of negative feelings about it. But on the other hand, you know, you look at the numbers, right, in terms of the median household income of your study's participants was around $35,000, but the average income for Asian Americans is closer to $66,000. You kind of wonder, is that part of it? Was it the resources to back it up, or was there some, maybe this is not just about the parenting style per se, but maybe it's really about resources, or is it adjusting to a new country, for example, since a lot of these parents were foreign born?
Well, you have to keep in mind, we have a range of income level in our studies. So about 30% of our families make 60,000 or more. And also only about 28% of our families in our study were classified as tiger parents. The large majority of them would be classified as supportive at 45%, and about 20% were classified as easygoing parents, and only 7% were classified as harsh parents.
So what would be your takeaway from this? What would you want people to know about this?
So my takeaway from my study would be that the most effective parenting strategy we found was actually supportive parenting, because children who had supportive parenting, their average GPA was about 3.6 compared to about 3.3 for the tiger parents, children of tiger parents. So it seems that tiger parenting may not be as effective in producing academically talented kids, whereas children of supportive parenting would actually have more successful outcomes, not only in terms of their academic well-being because their GPA is higher, but also in terms of their socio-emotional health as well, because they're doing better socio-emotionally and have better relationships with their parents and have a stronger sense of family obligation, which is a very valued trait among Asian American families.
We have about a minute and a half here. Why do you think this image of the tiger parent being, you know, heavy on the discipline, low on the hugs, persists? I mean, do you think it's in part because of media portrayals, or do you think that there's a grain of truth in it for people who are high achieving and they're talking about it?
Well, I mean, our study did find that tiger parents do exist in our study. So at least about 30% of the families in our study do fit that stereotype. The thing that's surprising is that it actually doesn't produce the most optimal outcomes, like Amy Chua and possibly the public may believe about the outcomes of tiger parenting, because it's really supportive parenting that's going to have the most positive outcomes on children.
Any advice for people who want to adopt those styles but may have, you know, bought the hype about the heavy on the discipline, low on the hugs? Any way would you briefly urge people to redirect their efforts?
Well, I mean, certainly it worked for Amy Chua and her kids, so there must be some group of kids for whom it may work. But the average tiger parent in our study, which is about 30% of our kids, it shows that empirical data is demonstrating with over 400 families that it doesn't really work as effectively. So I would really encourage parents to really steer away from the tiger parenting model and think more about doing supportive parenting, because that's what we know works over the course of the 8-year longitudinal study that we have on over 400 families living in Northern California of Chinese American descent.
You heard it here from an expert. More hugs, less violin. Okay. Soo Young, I'm saying that, not you. Soo Young Kim is an associate professor of human development at the University of Texas at Austin. She joined us from member station KUT in Austin. Professor Kim, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you, Michelle.